Coming up on Simply Superior.
Simply Superior, news and issues from a superior point of view.
After the tragic death, outrage and protests, the trial of the former officer charged with the killing of George Floyd is about to begin. Yet the financial case against Derek Chauvin, involving the club where both men worked, won't be heard in a courtroom until June. Does it have a bearing on the murder trial? A business reporter looks at them both. Then, like all of us, Shane Nelson has spent much of the last year sitting at home. But the superior singer-songwriter has put that time to good use, producing his long-awaited first album. Those stories and the regional news and review after this.
Scar that's on me, you've been stuck with me a while.
After the tragic death, outrage and protests, the trial of the former officer charged with the killing of George Floyd is about to begin. Yet the financial case against Derek Chauvin, involving the club where both men worked, won't be heard in a courtroom until June. Does it have a bearing on the murder trial? A business reporter looks at them both. Then, like all of us, Shane Nelson has spent much of the last year sitting at home. But he's put that time to good use, producing his long-awaited first album.
Scar that's on me, you can keep me up at night. Scar that's on me, tomorrow's looking bright.
Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. On Monday, all eyes will be focused just down I-35 as the trial begins in Minneapolis of the former police officer charged with the murder of George Floyd. The tragedy last May rocked the entire world, and our area is no exception. Later in the show, I'll tell you how you can add your voice to the discussion of just how Floyd's death has affected you. For now, though, we'll review the case against former officer Derek Chauvin, which is actually two cases. Monday is the opening of the case for which he faces charges for the death of Floyd, including second-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter, and the second case of alleged financial crimes committed by Chauvin and his wife won't see a courtroom until June. Yet it merits attention now because part of it centers on the only known connection between the two men, the fact that both worked in security for up to a year or more at a Minneapolis nightclub, ending a few weeks before their fatal encounter outside a convenience store just blocks away. As millions of people who have seen the bystander video of the encounter know, Floyd was approached by police after clerks at Cub Foods reported he had just passed a counterfeit $20 bill. Floyd struggled as officers attempted to put him in a squad car before Chauvin and his partner arrived as backup. After more struggles, the officers pinned Floyd down, with Chauvin's knee on Floyd's neck for nearly 9 minutes, during which the unarmed black man complained he couldn't breathe. Paramedics arrived and reported he suffered cardiac arrest in the ambulance, and Floyd was pronounced dead at the Hennepin County Medical Center emergency room. With me to discuss both cases is Ian Carlos, a reporter for the Minneapolis-St. Paul Business Journal. I am also a contributing editor to the journal, and Ian co-wrote a piece with me about the financial case for the newspaper's online edition this week. Welcome to Simply Superior, Ian.
Thanks for having me, Robin.
So, of course, the Minneapolis-St. Paul Business Journal is obviously interested in the financial story. First of all, what is that story, and why is it relevant to talk about now as a murder case gets underway?
Right. So according to charges filed by the Washington County Attorney, Derek Chauvin and his wife, Kelly Chauvin, are accused of underreporting over $464,000 in joint income between 2014 and 2019. They face 9 felony tax charges, 6 for filing false or fraudulent returns, and 3 for failing to file tax returns and allegedly owe the state $38,000 in back taxes, penalties, and interest. The reason why this is relevant now is that Derek Chauvin is accused of failing to report income he earned for off-duty police work And that includes an estimated $96,000 of income that he made for his security work with a Lake Street club called El Nuevo Rodeo. He worked there for 17 years. Sometime during 2019, George Floyd also started working there. He was a security guard inside the club. And that all means that there's a possible connection between Chauvin and Floyd before the encounter that led to Floyd's death.
Right. I want to go back to one thing, too. Washington County, Minnesota, is handling the financial case, and a murder case is being handled by Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. So you qualify any meeting of them as possible. Wouldn't someone else who worked there know?
Well, someone who worked there who knew both of them was Maya Santamaria, the former owner of El Nuevo Rodeo. Santamaria actually spoke about that connection with a podcaster named Jess Fields on his Jeff Fields Show podcast right after Floyd's death.
Well, we happen to have that. It's from the Jeff Fields Show from Texas. And before we play it, I talked to Mr. Fields to ask him how he got what really is an extraordinary interview, and really before most major media did. Here's a bit of my conversation with him, followed by an excerpt of his interview with Ms. Santamaria.
Well, when I saw a news story about her connection to both George Floyd and Derek Chauvin, it seemed rather appropriate for a news podcast to seek primary source information on this difficult case that a lot of the media wasn't really digging into. I like primary sources, Robin. I like to get in and try to figure out who knows firsthand what's going on. She had an angle about both Mr. Floyd and Mr. Chauvin and their specific, you know, temperaments, and she had specific interactions with George Floyd and with Derek Chauvin that were very unique and that you really couldn't find from any other person. I was a bit surprised that I was able to get a hold of her. At the same time, you know, it's not impossible to reach out to people who are part of an important news story if you try. I think in the aftermath of the death of George Floyd, a lot of the reporting related to the death itself, and people didn't really want to find out as much, or maybe the reporters didn't look as much into, you know, what actually happened like long beforehand. And so Maya Santamaria's angle was unique because she had employed Derek Chauvin for a long time, and she had employed George Floyd, although not in quite as extensive a capacity. And to me, that was really as much a part of the story as the unfortunate event of George Floyd's death.
And here is an excerpt of Jess Fields' interview with Maya Santamaria.
So starting off, you employed both Derek Chauvin and George Floyd over the past several years. Could you describe that relationship in terms of yourself as an employer at El Nuevo Rodeo?
Sure. I want to just make sure that it's clear that I in no uncertain terms want to imply that these two knew each other or had a working relationship, or the contrary, that they had a beef. Because sure. That I don't think that would be a fair representation.
Sure.
Derek Chauvin, as my off-duty police officer and really the head of my police officers that worked with me for the better part of 17 years, was, you know, outside in his patrol car. His job description was to be going around the club and making sure that as patrons entered and exited the building, they were safe, that everybody was good, and that nobody was robbing them or breaking into their cars, that kind of situation. If there was somebody inside that needed to be removed, if we found some kind of illegal thing on them, something of that nature, we could hand that person or those things over to him and we don't have to call 911. He would be there handy for us to hand over to law enforcement because we weren't law enforcement. Now, we did have inside security guards, and the club was the restaurant on the first floor, and then the second floor was the very big club, and then the third floor was an event center that was slightly smaller. So the security agents would roam, most of them, between the three floors. Some would have the doors, some would be in backstage dealing with the artists and the promoters and the crowds wanting to get their pictures taken with the artists. And so you can imagine that if you are working the backstage and you're with the crowds, you have no idea what the police officer outside is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So there would be very little overlap unless you happen to be that one security guard who was removing a patron and was going up to the officer and saying, here you go, this guy did this, that, or the other, take him in or whatever. Then that would be really the only, you know, reasonable way that they might interact.
Sure.
You know, so they probably cross paths on their way to my office to get paid at right. some point, but that doesn't mean that they knew each other.
Right.
And that was an excerpt from an interview last May with podcaster Jess Fields speaking with Maya Santamaria, the former owner of the Minneapolis club El Nuevo Rodeo. Santamaria goes on in the interview to describe Chauvin as aggressive toward African-American patrons in particular, though she does not call him a racist. She says Floyd was affable and someone she would have liked to have worked additional hours at her club if he had not had another job. We're speaking here with Ian Carlos, a reporter for the Minneapolis-St. Paul Business Journal, for which I am also a contributing editor. This week, Ian co-authored an article with me about the separate murder and financial charges against former Officer Chauvin in advance of the murder trial that will begin on Monday. So she says she can't say one way or another if they knew each other or how well. I know you've made attempts to reach her, and you were told she was out of town, and certainly she's invited to contribute to further Business Journal coverage and to this show. I don't think it's a stretch, though, to imagine how any relationship between Chauvin and Floyd would have an effect on the murder trial. What did the prosecutors of that case and Chauvin's defense lawyers say?
Well, I reached out to Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison's office. That office is handling the murder case. And I also reached out to the Washington County Attorney's Office, which is handling the tax evasion case. Neither would comment on any particular details of Chauvin's work for El Nuevo Rodeo. But it's also worth noting that Ellison's office didn't rule out calling Ms. Santamaria, again, the former owner of El Nuevo Rodeo, as a witness. They actually told me, as for witnesses, the prosecution may call, that information is not yet public. That's verbatim.
Hmm. And Chauvin's defense attorney?
He didn't respond to my requests for comment.
So I want to go back to the alleged financial crime, again handled by the Washington County Attorney's Office. Though Chauvin is charged with underreporting his income at the club, we don't know what sort of records were kept or turned into tax authorities or to prosecutors. I mean, usually if you work somewhere as a kind of freelancer, you get a 1099 at the end of the year. Again, I assume the prosecutors aren't talking about this.
No, they aren't. And to make things more complicated, El Nuevo Rodeo burned to the ground during the riots. And also, Ms. Santamaria actually sold the club early last year.
All right. Well, it doesn't sound like we're going to see any records anytime soon. Although, again, the Washington County Attorney's Office could indeed be working on that. So we're speaking with Ian Carlos. He's a reporter for the Minneapolis-St. Paul Business Journal and the co-author with me of an article appearing this week about the former Minneapolis police officer charged with causing the death of George Floyd. Derek Chauvin is also accused in a separate case of financial crimes, including underreporting income he made working security at the now-destroyed El Nuevo Rodeo nightclub, where both he and George Floyd worked. I know you're not a lawyer, neither am I, but wouldn't it make sense to kind of invert the trials and have the, I mean, the two different jurisdictions, I'm well aware of that, but have the financial case first and see what you could determine out of that of Chauvin's relationship, of course, with the club, but perhaps George Floyd's relationship with the club, too, how he was being paid and whatever else may come out of any possible connection between the two. And then have the murder trial, which, you know, if you don't have that, then the only thing you're dealing with for the two of them is, again, the fatal encounter.
Possibly. And that's why we're reaching out to the prosecutors for both cases. But Thus far, we haven't been able to get our hands on any answers.
Well, the details of that financial case are many and very complex. I know it does take a long time to put something like that together. One other aspect or monkey wrench into the whole thing is that Derek Chauvin and his wife, Kelly Chauvin, have filed for divorce, and their initial divorce settlement wasn't quite received by a judge the way they had hoped.
Right. Their first divorce settlement was actually turned down by Judge Juanita Freeman, citing possible concerns about fraud. That divorce settlement would have given most of the assets of the marriage over to Kelly Chauvin. They do seem to have come to a second settlement now, divorce that the judge has granted. However, the terms of that settlement are actually under wraps, citing concerns of harassment for Derek Chauvin and Kelly Chauvin. That's according to reporting from the Star Tribune.
Well, again, it's a part of a whole mountain of material that is yet to be unveiled, and perhaps some of it will be in the murder trial that begins on Monday. So to sum all of this up, what's the significance of the nightclub connection, if there is any, without buying into any conspiracy theories?
No conspiracy theories here. But if they did know each other, it could change the complexion of the case. Rather than being a police racial killing, it could be something interpersonal. Again, there is no publicly released evidence of that, but I have to stress publicly released. Authorities have released very few details of the investigation in either case, and we've been asking for a while.
We've been speaking with Ian Carlos. He's a reporter for the Minneapolis St. Paul Business Journal and a co-author with me of an article appearing this week about the former Minneapolis police officer charged with causing the death of George Floyd. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
And now to you. How has the case that's rocked the world affected you? We'd like to hear. If you've been personally affected by the death of George Floyd or the aftermath of either peaceful protests or violent unrest or simply affected in your heart or mind, please share your thoughts for an upcoming program. Call us and leave a message that we can use on the air, including your name and phone number, at 715-394-8530. That's 715-394-8530. And be sure to leave your name and phone number. Or you may email me directly at robin.washington@wpr.org. That's robin.washington@wpr.org. Coming up, Shane Nelson has spent a lot of time holed up during the pandemic and created an album.
Scar that's on me, you've been stuck with me a while. Scar that's on me, you walk with me mile after mile. You can follow me around. Who I was is not who I am now. Remind me of my past. You're just the shadow that I cast. Scar that's on me, you can keep me up at night. Scar that's on me, tomorrow's looking.
Has the pandemic forced you to keep things in focus?
I need to focus. This part of me wants that so bad. Part of me feels broken.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. And yes, even with the vaccines, the pandemic is still going on. And yes, it's been a whole year now since we started featuring performers who couldn't get to the clubs or concert halls. Remember when you thought COVID-19 might be licked by the summer? Well, we all know the rest of that story, and I say that with deep sadness for the hundreds of thousands lost to the disease, including many I knew well and greatly respected. But if there's any upside to our strange new normal, it's that through Zoom or other virtual platforms, we may have gotten closer to one another, and a series of performers who've joined us on this show is part of that. And today, one makes a return visit. Shane Nelson of Superior has been playing the guitar since age 6, influenced by the Beatles, Buddy Holly, and also his dad. The Superior High School grad won WDIO's Northland Idol Contest in 2017 and the Duluth Dylan Fest Songwriting Contest the next year. And when we spoke with him last year, he was working on an album, selections from which he'll feature on this show. Welcome to Simply Superior, Shane.
Hey, thanks for having me. You know more about me than I do.
Well, you've got a website this year. I don't think you had your website last year.
I didn't. Which website are you on right now?
I'm on ShaneNelsonMusic.com.
That is my new website.
Cool.
And that's where I'm working on setting up other like videos and, you know, maybe possibly a blog. That's something I was thinking about doing so that people could have all in one place to go for anything that they would want, whether it's like they're looking to book me and they've never heard me before, or maybe they just want to get a quick and easy link to, like, you know, my YouTube channel or the other different online music platforms, I should say, that have my music. I want to try to make it like an all in one place where, you know, if someone didn't know where to find something, well, there it is.
Right.
So, like, and also I didn't have an album last time I talked to you, I don't believe.
Your album is called Shane Nelson Self-Titled Debut Album. Now, where did you come up with that name?
Well, actually, the whole thing is, the name would just be Shane Nelson.
Okay.
The entire name of the album wouldn't be self-titled debut album Shane Nelson. It would just be Shane Nelson.
Okay. So I'm reading the website a little too literally, I think, right?
You can't cut that. You got to keep that. That was actually funny.
Well, it does say that on the website, but now that I look at it, Shane Nelson is in a different type. Right. It's in bright yellow, and self-titled debut album is underneath it in smaller letters in red. So, my bad.
Well, maybe I got to yell at the editor.
Right.
I figured when I came up with that idea was, I had a few songs that would be nice to have on the album as the title of the album, because, you know, it'd be nice. You know, Go, Go, Go is a song that I feel like it says a lot about me, but I could say that about a few other songs as well, like where there may have been a couple of themes that would have worked with the album. But I figured, hey, this is my first album, and maybe just a self-titled album wouldn't be bad.
It worked for 1,000 or so other people.
Well, and that's just it. You know, I personally love James Taylor, and he was one of the first people I looked at, like, what are these other solo artists? What do they do when they, you know, made their first album? James Taylor was a perfect example.
Now, do you still have Crescent Moon on the album with you? Or are you still playing with them?
I don't. We have been talking about making an album of our own. So basically, this album is everything just me. So I play all the parts on them. So I have a computer where I do my recording at home. So I do a bit of recording in my garage where I have a drum set so I don't wake people up in my house, and I at nighttime at 3 a.m. when I get the urge to record. And then I also, you know, I do some recording in my room. You know, I do like vocal takes and guitar parts and things like that. But I did all of the parts on all of the songs in the album, but it's kind of a Frankenstein album, and I've said that before, because there is one song that was done with the group that The Hounds, they were called the Lounge Hounds, but they're called the Hounds now. And Ron Koivisto is a good friend of mine, and he's the guitar player of that band. And so his band sat in with me on a session where we recorded a few songs, and the song's called Focus. We recorded that in 2017, and I just really liked what we did on that, and I put that in the album. So that's the only song where there were other musicians beside myself on there.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Shane Nelson of Superior, singer-songwriter, with the new album called Shane Nelson. It is not called Shane Nelson's self-titled debut album. That's my mistake in how I read it on the website. The website is ShaneNelsonMusic.com. I'm wondering, it sounds like with you playing all the instruments and all the different parts and everything, that this is actually the perfect pandemic production, if you excuse my alliteration there. But are there any songs that are themselves influenced by the pandemic? Like, before you answer, Go, 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 I hear you saying, we should ditch this town. It's time to go, go, go. And I know that's what a lot of people are thinking about doing in this time.
So you actually listen to the album?
Yeah, I do things like that. Yes, I do, yeah.
You knew the words to it. Well, I appreciate you listening to it, first of all. I hope you enjoyed it. But, you know, I wrote that song quite a while ago, and I wrote that song while I had a driving job, where I was driving a delivery van. I was delivering electrical parts in the northern Wisconsin area, and I just thought it was perfect. I mean, it wasn't directly related to the pandemic, and I'd never written a song so far, I mean, that was influenced by the pandemic. I guess my thing is like, it was just annoying for me in my musical career, so I just figured I wouldn't give it attention, and so I didn't write a song about it.
All right. Yeah, like a lot of art, you know, it's up to the listener to apply it to their own situation and maybe their own condition, such as a pandemic. So let's take a listen to Go, Go, Go by Shane Nelson.
You said that we would ditch this town and hit the road with nowhere bound. Until the time that I was rapping ready. Truth be told, I love your soul. It's now or never when I'm old. I think it's time to hold the sail steady. I think it's time to go, go, go. She was perfection, so it seemed I bet my life that it would be. I said I'd wait the day she went away. Still her ghost is all I see. Back in the land of make-believe, I think my heart is brave enough to say, I think it's time to go, go, go. I've grown to see that I'm not done changing. Till my life hits the brakes and sends me on my way. Standing stills for statues, I got time to kill. Life is short, I've been rearranging. 'Cause I was made to go, go, go. Took for granted all this time, the ones I love were mine, all mine. Tragedy with stories in a song. Since my father's brother's son, a heartache made for everyone. I know there's only now, so just hold on.
Hold on, babe.
We're all made to go, go, go.
Yeah.
I've grown to see that I am not done changing. Till my life hits the brakes and sends me on my way. Standing stones. Statues, I got time to kill. Life is short, I've been rearranging. 'Cause I was made to go, go, go.
Go, go.
Know that I got to go, go, go. I was born to go, go.
That was Go, Go, Go by Shane Nelson of Superior, singer-songwriter, who has his new album, a recent album, Shane Nelson. That's a good title for a person named Shane Nelson. Aside from the album, What else have you been doing, and what's been going on?
Well, since the pandemic happened, I started playing 3 days a week, working as an activities aide in this nursing home in Duluth. And I was putting in a tremendous amount of hours. I mean, a typical show for a musician, you know, is maybe 2, 3, 4 hours. But I was, and I'm still doing it to this day. I don't know if the pay is equal to, you know, the work that I put out. But I mean, I did it because I felt like I could help people that weren't able to have families come and visit them and such. And that was one of my outlets for my music, and even now.
Well, it just sounds like a really great thing. I'm really impressed, because on the one hand, it's your creative outlet, as you said. On the other hand, whatever is paying something, which is better than nothing. And then lastly, you're performing, you know, a service, right, to the residents of that nursing home, because I got to believe, you know, music therapy is something that actually exists, and they have to have activities. Yeah, they can't just sit there, particularly in this time, and literally stare at the walls. So
I have learned a lot of things about just almost human nature, you know,
mm-hmm.
And the way that, like especially people with dementia, and the way that memory works with songs that we're familiar with. Some of these people that have dementia and Alzheimer's, they don't talk. They you cannot hold a conversation with them. But if you play a song that they recognize from their younger days, they're going to light up and start singing with you. And it's amazing. Like, I got such a large repertoire now of, like, older songs. It's unbelievable.
Wow. You know what? I'm seeing your next album. Shane Nelson plays the Golden Oldies.
Oh, jeez.
Well, whether or not you make that album is still a great public service. Back to your album. Okay, so you don't have songs that are specific to the pandemic, but are there some that just might fit into that genre? You have one you mentioned briefly, Focus, and I was thinking how we're all focusing at this time, but maybe I'm stretching that. What's it really about?
Well, like you were saying earlier, it's nice to leave things open for people's interpretation, but I also, focus is kind of, I wrote it about myself. I mean, I have a hard time focusing on everything because I may have ADHD, but it's like not exactly, I think I may have been diagnosed as a child, but I see a butterfly and I'm just like in a whole nother world. You know, it could be on one conversation and I'm off on the next, you know, without even thought about what we were initially talking about. Kind of like right now. But I wrote it about that, and basically a relationship that I was in where I felt like in order to stay consistent with what, you know, we were doing, I needed to focus on everything that was happening in our relationship. And it was difficult.
Mm-hmm. And you said the backup band is the Hounds, is it?
Yeah, the Hounds. They play around the Twin Ports quite a bit.
All right, so here's Focus by Shane Nelson with the Hounds.
I'm almost there. I just can't quite seem to wrap my head around. Lay my weapons down. We can meet on common ground. Just hold on. I'm almost there. Keep looking into my state. What's that there I see? A legend and a mystery. She's beauty, I'm the beast. Seems to me defining what's becoming me. I I need to focus. This part of me wants that so bad, and part of me feels broken. Take this token, it's a little appreciation for some words I might have left unspoken. Hold on, I'm almost there. What's that there I see? There's parts of me won't rest in peace. These illusions of my history brought light out from the dark. Shine some light on where you are.
And that was Focus by Shay Nelson with The Hounds. What do you want to highlight? What ones stand out to you?
Well, the thing about it is that I've had so many songs, and I could have possibly made 10 albums, and I just never put out any of my songs, ever. And I figured it's time. I have to make a way possible for people to hear the music, you know, hear my songs.
We talked about that last year, and you were kind of kicking yourself, and it was a goal to do so, so... We're proud of you because, you know, you set yourself to do something and you did it.
Thanks. And the pandemic, it definitely made it possible. So I just, me and I guess my family and friends, we went over, okay, so which songs do you think are your favorites? Or at this point, maybe some ones that would go good together for an album. I don't want to say the best because they're all my babies and I love them all, you know, because they all hold a certain time and place in my life.
Any that you'd like to point out?
Well, if you haven't heard the song Best of Me, that I really like that song a lot. It's kind of almost got like a hip-hop type rhythm behind it. And I wrote it about addiction because I actually quit chewing tobacco recently. And well, actually, it hasn't been recently, but it's been 4 years now. But it seems like yesterday. But I wrote the song about fighting that addiction. I came up with the lines, "You won't be the hurt that lives inside of me, and I can face it, and that's fine." And usually when I write songs about certain tough situations, it helps me cope with it, you know, as well. So, I mean, I think that song did me good, and it's one of my favorite songs.
All right. Here's Best of Me by Shay Nelson from his album, Shay Nelson. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You won't be the hurt that lives inside of me. My soul was laced with hate. I can face this demon unafraid. You'll be a rogue after you tested my strengths. You tell me only once. I know that's not how you play. Why are you acting so malicious? Coming round, you're so suspicious. You're worse than my prediction. Trying to drive me to addiction. You'll watch me burn because we didn't work. But you don't got no hold on me. You're not my malediction. I don't need the next best way to get messed up with a quick hookup when I'm fed up. Don't need to find void between you, me, and my loneliness. It's killing me, or the nothingness that we conceived. No, you're not my destiny. You'll never see the best of me. See the best of me. When I pressed you to my lips, but my will is stronger than the taste of death on your kiss. You got your fix just for kicks. You had me dumped down in the mix. I dismissed the ones I loved, and now you won't be missed. You're acting so malicious. Coming round, you're so suspicious. You're worse than my prediction. Trying to drive me to addiction. You'll watch me burn because we work, but you don't got no hold on me. You're not my malady. addiction. I don't need the next best way to get messed up with a quick hookup when I'm fed up. Don't need to convoy between you, me, and my loneliness. It's killing me, or the nothingness that we conceived. No, you're not my destiny. You'll never see the best of me. You're just a inside of me. But the next best way to get messed up with a quick hookup when I'm fed up. Don't need to find void between you, me, and my loneliness. It's killing me, or the nothingness that we conceived. No, you're not my destiny. You'll never see the best of me. See the best of me.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Hey, Robin.
And our own Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio, Danielle Kading. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Brooks, just as we're all about to relive the George Floyd death, Duluth police and other law enforcement authorities last week had a high-profile standoff. It was in Lincoln Park, although this time race was not a factor, and there have been no questions so far about the use of force.
Right. The Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension is looking into the police shooting that happened and killed a suspect in the long-running standoff that ended last Friday afternoon. K-9 Luna was killed by the suspect, and officers went in repeatedly and had to retreat as the suspect refused to give himself up and was pointing a shotgun, according to the BCA, at officers when they fatally shot and killed him. The suspect was wanted on felony warrants. Police were responding to a domestic disturbance call, and the man, David Joseph Wayne Conwell, 37, held off officers for about 20 hours in a home in Lincoln Park. You know, according to Chief Mike Tuscan's telling, that one of the longest standoffs he's ever seen, and it required, you know, a change in shift, and just really kind of took over and captivated the neighborhood. Many folks, as I was out there watching it, were standing watching and videoing the thing, and it was a very long day for all involved, and a traumatic event for the community, certainly.
Right, and there was an outpouring of grief from the community about the fallen police dog. Danny, I understand discrimination is alleged in a dispute in Ashland over a COVID quarantine.
Yeah, you know, the situation in question involves Kelly Madej and her three children. Her 12-year-old son needed to stay home after he was exposed to COVID-19 through another student who had the virus. But she was surprised to learn that they also wanted to isolate her other two young children, one who was in kindergarten. And her children had to sit in an isolation room for about 45 minutes alone until they could be picked up from school. And that was a pretty upsetting thing for a 5-year-old kid. And so basically Kelly Madej and her family are alleging that the Ashland School District treated her family differently because her children are Native American. She has listed several other instances in a letter with her attorney to the district of other students, white students, who contracted the COVID-19 virus and did not quarantine, or their family members or teammates or classmates did not have to quarantine. You know, in response to Ms. Madej in an email, the superintendent, Eric Olson, has said that the family's children were not treated any differently than anyone else in these types of situations where quarantine is warranted. He said that the district's procedures provide that if any household member is in close contact to someone who has been confirmed to have the virus, that all members of the household must quarantine, including siblings in this case. And so the family is disputing that, and they are now planning to file complaints with state and federal education agencies, and they have not ruled out the possibility of a lawsuit.
Well, we'll continue following that. Moving down to Superior, the city is taking some action against sex trafficking.
Yeah, the Superior City Council approved plans this week to create a task force to combat sex trafficking. You know, they're going to place an emphasis on policies, programs, training, and other resources to promote healing and support victims of trafficking. This was kind of brought to the forefront by Superior native Tatiana Burgum. She runs the trafficking prevention program with North Homes Children and Family Services in Duluth. And she started to get involved when she started to see youth going back and forth between Superior and Duluth, because she works with young adults in the area that have been trafficked or exploited for sex. And so she, along with others in the Superior community, feel like this is a good opportunity to strengthen or enhance efforts that are already underway to combat sex trafficking and raise awareness of the issue and how to identify it when it exists. A report that was released by the Wisconsin Department of Justice last year found that part of the problem is confusion among law enforcement agencies over how to define trafficking, as well as inconsistent reporting. Some law enforcement agencies who were surveyed said that they have trouble making a distinction between trafficking and prostitution. So they're hopeful that this task force would help to bring those resources to bear and create more awareness and education around this issue to help address it in the area.
Well, Brooks, we just had a hybrid Berkey Biner. What's it look like for having an in-person or in-runner grandmas this summer?
It's going to be watched by the international running community, grandmas, in June 17th through the 19th. Grandma's Marathon will be the largest in-person race held since the COVID-19 outbreak disrupted those plans. You know, popular races that they're typically held in spring, like the Boston Marathon, have been pushed back to fall. And Grandma's has actually enlisted a world-renowned crowd scientist to study how to do this safely and how to convince the state that they can have more than 250 people in a course at once, which still needs to get sorted out. So Katie Galliano, my colleague, talked to the scientists and talked to organizers and found that they have a plan. They're going to safely host 9,500 runners over three races. That's the full, the half marathon, and the 5K around the Irving. And we'll just have to get there and get a little closer to know more about what that looks like. But as of today, the race is on.
All right. Well, we've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
And Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Thank you, Brooks.
Thanks, Robin.
You can read the stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau, including Katie Galliato, who is looking at that grandma situation, at www.startribune.com/northreport. And be sure to subscribe to their local newsletter. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with more of the music of Shane Nelson. This one called Simply, I Like You. Stay safe, everyone. Thank you.
times before that I've been lost in all the world's realities. There's something different here. There's something in the air, 'cause every time I see your face, there's nothing changing on any time, on any given day. Yeah. What I'm saying is, I like you, I need you, and I want you. It's all you. All you do, oh, come and tell me, girl. I bet you feel it too, times before that I've been down, all the world's been up on me. There's something different here. I got a feeling it won't let go, 'cause every time I see your face, oh, there's nothing changing on any time, on any given day. What I'm saying is, I like you, I need you, and I want you. It's all you and all you do. Oh, come and tell me, girl. Won't you tell me now, now, now? I like you, I need you, and I want you. It's on you and all you do. Oh, come and tell me, girl. Won't you come along and won't you tell me, girl? I bet you feel it.